This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Man, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it, as always, genuinely, every single day. Three fun hours straight ahead. Good morning to you, Randy. How are
What's
you?
What's happening, man? All good over here at Andy Bunker on a beautiful Tuesday in early May. As, you know, late night, we took like a 3 o'clock, fell asleep like 3 to like 4:30.
Well, good for you. Yeah, a little power nap.
A little power nap, but it kept me up longer than I needed.
Did that keep you up to the end of the second basketball game?
Yes, it did.
Well, you got a great finish.
Yes, I got a great finish. Just everything you talk about as far as – because you know this. Of course, we're going to get the NBA, but you know this new analytical basketball or whatever more than I do because I don't give a damn about it. But it's threes, free throws, and layups, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
It's mostly threes. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
If they're not falling, and you can get past them all day to get layups, but yet you still try to shoot it, because there's no more frustrating. It might have been a game. I can't even remember what game it was. And I came here and said the same thing. They're the most frustrating, talking about the Boston Celtics, the most frustrating freaking team that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's not going in.
No one has ever missed more threes in a game than they missed yesterday. They literally missed 45 threes.
What about the game I was talking about earlier this year when they seemed like they missed 40? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, and that was one of those ones where it was kind of like, I don't know, regular season, whatever, blah, blah, blah. No, yesterday was game one of a playoff series that they should have won. Like, they're still winning the game, the majority of the game, missing 45 threes. Like, they were 6 of, like, 31 in the first half and had a 15-point lead. Like,
yes.
So they were playing better than the Knicks, even with that massive, like massive issue hanging over their heads.
Goodness
and
they did,
like, and that is, you know, it's a legitimate criticism of the modern game of like, and that's not just basketball. We talk about all the time with the three true outcomes in baseball. It's like, all right, today's not your day. Maybe switch your approach a little bit. But no, there's no such thing as switching your approach.
God.
Yeah, no, these dudes shot 63s, Randy.
He
shot 63-pointers last night. And they missed 45.
And most of them were uncontested.
Most teams don't even take 45 threes. Like, if you would have told me 10, 15 years ago that a team would be taking 45 threes in a playoff game, I don't know what I would have even come up with a theory as to why they would be doing that.
Right.
Let alone missing 45 threes, and it came back to bite them in the ass.
Yeah.
Like, again, they should have. They had multiple opportunities to win the game, even though they did that. Credit to the Knicks. They stayed in the fight, man. They battled to the very end. They outscored them by 10 in the fourth quarter to send it in overtime, and then, you know, they got what they needed in overtime. But, yeah, no, it's crazy. Like,
oh, my God.
I don't know what to tell you.
I'm just like, what the?
Here's what I will tell you. I do know what to tell you. They're not going to change.
No,
it worked. They won a championship.
Absolutely.
So, like, you know, we said yesterday when we were diagnosing all the different series and saying what you think might happen, I said, give me the Celtics in 6 because there's going to be one game where they miss all their threes.
I said 5.
Well, last night was the game where they missed all their threes.
I said 5, but now
they're not
like,
going to do that again.
Yeah, but
they're not going to shoot 25% from 3 again.
God, that was just awful. But, I mean, everything else, the Braves obviously got the win last night. Technically, it is an inside the park home run. I would do the same thing. I saw some tweet guy said, did Matt Olson handle this situation right by not stopping? No, you keep going.
Oh.
No, you keep going.
Yeah, no, there's no criticism of Matt Olson. No. The play was alive. You keep running.
No.
I was just sort of having a chuckle at Caleb's update saying Matt Olson hit an inside the park home run, which is true.
Yeah.
I understand the updates are short, so we don't have time for all of the context. Right. Luckily, we have a full 15-minute segment.
Is that dude all right?
No, he broke his arm.
I mean, He's never, ever.
His season's over. He broke his forearm.
Seen
now, I guess maybe his season's not over. He might play
like a collision like that with a wall, man. And the wall didn't even budge. Ouch, he didn't bruise the wall or nothing.
It reminded me of the Ken Griffey Jr. catch those years ago.
When he put his wrist into
the wall. Straight into the wall. Now, Griffey caught the ball, but he broke his wrist and was out for a couple of months. He's not okay.
that was unbelievable.
He's got a broken forearm.
But they took care of business. I didn't see the diagnosis. Yeah. I heard on the call, but I was like, how do you know?
That is what it would, because we were kind of joking off the air yesterday about how Matt Olson got thrown out in the game Sunday against the Dodgers where the ball tipped off Freddie's glove and then the second baseman had to make the throw and the pitcher fell over. It's like, you know how slow you have to be to get thrown out on that pitch?
Yes.
You know how what has to happen for Matt Olson to hit an inside the park home run? The left fielder has to literally break a bone.
Yes.
And that's what happened. I mean, he did. He ran into the wall as hard as you can run into a wall. You heard it. That was the crazy thing on the broadcast. You didn't see it because of the angle, right? I mean, he's way back in the corner trying to get there, and you couldn't see it in live, but you heard it. And then when they showed it, it was like, dang, that sucked. That didn't look like any fun. So Matt Olson rounds the bases and scores.
Yeah, man.
There it is. That's inside the park home run for Matt Olson. Bet he doesn't have any more of those in his career.
That's a strong possibility of no.
But that's not the story of the night. Story of the night's A.J. Smith Shaver.
A.J. Smith Shaver.
Carries the no-hitter into the eighth inning. Gives up a hit to the first
Who
batter
jinxed
in the
it?
Inning. My father-in-law, Jim. Jim texts us after the seventh and goes, hey, Braves pitcher's got a no-hitter going.
Yep.
I was like, thanks, Jim.
And then
now we know it's going to happen. Immediately the first batter next inning.
And then they just told me somebody in my ear. So, stop jinxing it, all right? Just like they do.
Jim Davis jinxed it.
How they don't step on the line or anything. They just hop over the line. Just don't say nothing.
Don't say anything. Just say, hey, if you guys aren't watching the Braves game, you might want to tune in. Something cool's happening.
Yes.
You just can't say the two words.
Yes.
He didn't say them. He texted them. But uh-oh. The universe knew.
Yeah.
The universe knew. And then immediately it happened. And I guess my broadcast was a little in front of theirs, whatever. They watch on YouTube TV, I think.
Uh-huh.
Or I don't know how they watch. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I texted, cool, great jinx, Jim.
Uh-huh.
And they hadn't seen it yet.
Oh, damn.
And he was like, oh, I didn't even know it happened. And then we're like all on a family text thread.
Right.
And Jim and Julie are sitting in their living room in Lazy Boy chairs next to each other.
Right.
Texting about each other in the family text group. Like, yeah, you should make fun of him. He deserves it.
Right.
I was like, okay. All right. You guys are talking. You can just talk to each other. That's all right. Still a great performance. His best start of his major league career. He did get out of the eighth inning, allowing just that one hit. And then De Los Santos came in and shut it down in the ninth inning. But, exactly why we want to see A.J. Smith-Shaver with the big club every 5 days, getting a chance to go out there.
Yes.
He's gotten better every time out. And he even had a pretty good start. I understand he has the options, so his situation is different than some of the other starters.
Leave that boy alone.
Yeah, I think you got to leave him alone. I mean, he had a really good start last time out, and he got hit with a comebacker. Probably would have gone seven or so in that start, too. And Snit even said after the game, if he had the no-hitter going into the ninth, they were going to give him 120 pitches.
Right.
So he was going to get the opportunity to try to close it out, which, you know, that's another modern thing that sucks sometimes is guys have no-hitters and they get pulled on pitch counts. Great to see. Great to see from A.J. Smith-Shaver last
night. Yeah, man, it was good to see the young guy. Like you said, it's unfortunate because, I mean, if he pitches well, they can't send him down and all those things because of the options. But the one thing is if he doesn't have a good start or good two starts in a row, then it's like, okay, well, send him back down instead of letting him work through this crap, man. That's the one thing about the young players. You're so scared that you're ruining them that you won't allow them to get through any damn adversity. So just allow the young man to stay up here and pitch. And as of right now, you still need him to be up here and pitch because we don't know what's the word on Spencer or anything like that. So, yeah, let him go ahead and take care of business. And, hopefully – and we talk about the beating up on teams that you're better than. The Reds stink. And, I didn't say – and obviously they lost to the damn Rockies – in Chris Sale's last start. He started tonight. Go out there, have a good start. He had a pretty good start against against Colorado.
That yeah, really
the
good
one
start.
Home run.
Probably his best start of the year.
Yeah, so just continue to build off of that and so on and so forth with the other guys. I don't think I'm impressed with the shortstop now. I know last week I was out on him, mm-hmm. done with him. Now I'm back in.
Yeah, he's playing good.
Yeah, he is.
He made a couple really nice plays. Yes. I thought Ozzie had a couple really nice turns at second base. That's something we've been talking about. It's just like maybe just a little slower than you had seen, maybe not getting to balls that he had been getting to earlier in his career. Last night, Ozzie had a really nice defensive game. And Nick Allen's playing a solid shortstop. He's hitting the baseball. If he's going to bat 271 or whatever right around there, get on base and play defense like that, mm-hmm. he's going to play.
Yeah,
like you know what it is with Arcia. Like it's just, you know, he was in there because of his glove and you didn't have another option. Nick Allen's a better option at this point, so he's going to be in there. Eli White with another hit last night as well. You mentioned the Strider stuff. We did get a little bit of an update on him and Acuna yesterday. Strider's throwing, but there's no timeline.
Right.
Like, we don't know really.
Like a long tossing?
He's long tossing.
Isn't that how he got hurt? Long tossing?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Something throwing. He's playing catch. I don't know. So he's worked back to doing the thing that he got hurt doing.
Right.
And then Ronald Acuna is still kind of like kind of a mystery. Like, we really don't know. I mean, he's going to go back to L.A. for a final examination. I thought he already did that, but mm-hmm. I guess he has to go back and get another one. And then he can begin a rehab assignment once that happens. Supposed to happen this month. Still don't really know when.
They've been extra cautious.
Extra
cautious and everything like that. Yeah, I definitely understand that. I mean, your best player and everything like that, and he's such a dynamic difference maker. You don't want to have any kind of minor setbacks. I mean, not saying that Spencer Strider had a setback because of the surgery, but he had a setback.
Right.
You know what I mean? He had a setback when somebody got hurt. You know what I mean? And you don't want anything like that to happen to Ronnie. So, yeah, they're just being extra cautious with it. I just still feel like there's something going on internally with him and his team. And, you know, hopefully it's not something that will ultimately lead to something that you don't want. But, I mean, but still, I think they're just trying to be extra, extra cautious with them.
What makes you think that?
I don't know, and it's just a feeling that I have.
I mean, the tweet.
The tweet, obviously, but then it's just like, you know, and you know, he's been hurt, so you can't sit there and say, well, he wants to do contract. Obviously, every damn athlete wants to do contract.
Right.
And especially when you're as underpaid as he is. But then it's the whole snit thing and just, I don't know. And that's just because you just – me just thinking like my I think about things when it comes to authority figures in athletes. I just don't see the thing with Snit with Ronnie. It seems like Snit's like over it. Like, talk to Alex.
Like he had a weird reaction last night to talking about it.
Yeah, like, you know, but I mean, and that could be me just reading into something.
I think Snit's just kind of tired of talking about
it.
Because he doesn't know. Like, it's not up to him. You know what I mean?
I'm sure
he gets asked about it, not every day, but like
almost
all the time, you know?
Right.
And it's not like he's trying to be coy. He just doesn't know. Like, I think if Snit knew, he would love to tell you.
Yeah,
yeah, he's going to start his rehab tomorrow, and we're going to have him back in 3 weeks, and he's going to lead off every day, and I can't wait. I think it's just kind of like, he's got to go see the doctor.
He'll be here when he's here.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Eventually, that seems like
I think he is about this the way that we kind of are about Kirk Cousins.
Right.
It's like, I understand there's like a little bit of news about it, but there's really not.
Right.
So there's really nothing for me to say.
All right.
I'm just tired of talking
about
it.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
So come back to me,
it. I think that's how he feels about it.
And you know what? I probably would too.
Yeah.
I probably would be too.
I think you would.
Like I said, just something that's a feeling. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. Not saying it's anything of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, like there's something. And
there's something, baby.
Because you don't send out that tweet without there being some sort of lingering feel. That was 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? For that to still be there. Now, I just hope, and you know, I don't know that they've even been in the same room since that happened. They probably haven't, because he's been rehabbing in Florida and flying to LA to see the doctor, and he's got to do that one more time. I just hope they sit down and deal with it, like whatever it is. Like, for that to be lingering after all this time and a World Series and an MVP and two injuries and all this stuff, like to still be on your mind all these years later. You sit down like men and talk about it.
Do something.
You know?
I mean, and I think the thing with Brian Snicker is he knows this kid. He's been known since he was a pup when he got here. And so, yeah, I mean, if you can't sit down and talk about it like a man, or not, I don't even say like a man, just like a player coach or
like
whatever.
A grown up.
Or that's even better, a grown up, then we'll see. But I just think until, because to me, it don't seem like it's been resolved. To me, it seemed like it was something that was like, all right, it'll go away. And it just never did. And so, you know, but I think, you know, and think a lot more things are measured when you're losing. and you're not having the best of the season, and he's actually, I mean, he's literally not here to go to perform and all those different things. So I go back to the thing.
Maybe Kelnick getting sent down makes him feel better.
Maybe. Maybe you don't
like
him.
That was the ultimate.
Maybe you don't like him. But I think a lot of times when you – because I've been injured and away from the team and sitting around, you have idle time.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. If he was, I bet if he was on the team, he wouldn't have tweeted that.
No, no. Because he would have been playing.
He'd been playing.
He would have been in the game at the time.
You're sitting there idle and ain't got nothing to do.
Like, oh, he doesn't get pulled, huh?
Oh, huh?
Anyway, hopefully he's back soon with no idle time to tweet. He's getting the outfield. We don't know when that'll happen, though. Got to go back to LA and see the doctor again. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
He deals the pitch that Olsen shoots the other way toward the line. Oh. Catch made by Callahan, or was it made? And he is in some pain. Yeah. The ball was not caught. Matt Olsen is going to come around and try to score, and he's going to.
Yeah, he's hurt down there. That's a broken wrist or something.
Mm. Yep. You hate it for Tyler Callahan, a rookie playing in just his fourth Major League Baseball game. The Braves do get two.
Yeah, man, the audio on that thing is wild.
Hell yeah.
And it's not like they even have, like, the wall's not, like, mic'd up.
No,
you know,
he hit that damn goodness wall hard.
Gracious. Tom Glavine was right, by the way. That's the FanDuel Sports Network. I'm still getting there. I'm working on it.
Right.
Because they were bally for, like, 5 seconds. FanDuel Sports Network audio there. Tom Glavine diagnosed that thing in real time. He was right. Broken forearm. Really sucks. It was only
Yeah, man.
Fourth game that kid played. I mean, he was going for it. You got to give him credit, going all out, trying to make that play. Damn near did, too. I mean, he almost made just
fourth
a great
game, though,
catch.
That's just unfortunate for
him.
Yeah,
it really is.
And everything, young player, trying to find his way and everything.
Obviously was going to play a ton for the Reds.
Hell of an effort and everything. But, Matt Olsen, inside the park home run, technically. But when you look at, you know, situations like that, man, it's just like the – because I think when you have an injury like that, does that hold you back when the ball's going over there next time? Like, is he all, you know, is that going to be in the back of your head when you're running over there blindly?
Probably.
Because you're looking at the damn ball.
Yeah.
You know, you're focused on the ball, not knowing how close you are to that wall. So hopefully that doesn't do that to this young man. Hopefully he bounces back and has a good career because the Reds need it because they stink.
Yeah. They're not very good.
Yeah. And then I wonder what the mayor's saying up there now.
Even Ellie De La Cruz not off to a very good start. And I'll tell you this. I did not realize that Terry Francona was their manager.
Yes.
I didn't know that they had hired him this offseason. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Like, he only wins pretty much in my lifetime as a baseball fan. So that's a good hire. But, yeah, they're not a particularly good team. Hopefully the Braves can continue to take advantage of that. Chris Sale on the mound today, taking on Andrew Abbott. So should be a pretty good matchup as far as the pitchers go today, and hopefully the Braves can get a win. One game closer to 500, two games under right now. You win two in a row, you'll be the fastest team to ever get back to 500 after starting 0-7. Not really a record you want, but you might as well make the best out of it and be the fastest one to get back to 500.
Real quick, Andy, on the Okuya thing, one of our listeners sent a Mark Bowman tweet saying that the Braves are saying that Ronald Okuya would not need to return to L.A., and he will begin his rehab games at some point this month. Late May still seems to be the realistic target for his return.
So the at some point this month stuff is the same.
Yeah.
But doesn't have to go to L.A. to get another exam.
No, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing, because anytime you're like going back to see the doctor, that just always raises my eyebrows a little bit. I'm like, didn't you already see that guy?
Yeah.
And go see him again?
Yeah.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Well, but he doesn't have to, so that's good.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
You're done with doctors. Well, you're never done with doctors. But yeah.
right. But he doesn't have to go see Dr. Neil L. Atrache.
That guy.
Yeah, the guy who does all the big-time surgeries. All right, here's Brian Snitker talking about A.J. Smith-Shawver last night.
Oh, my God. That'd be awesome. Be huge for us going forward. As we know, you can never have too many starting pitchers. And, I it was out there free and easy. I just loved how they used his fast bike. We talked about that this afternoon, somebody asked. And it was good. Again, you know, he hadn't had that jump on it like he did tonight. Which is really that was biggest takeaway for me from that was the fastball.
Yeah, looked good. Really, really good performance for A.J. Smith-Shawver. Best of his career. 8 innings, 1 hit, went into the 8th inning with a no-hitter, gives up the single up the middle of the leadoff batter, but then comes back and gets the next 3 guys, got a double play to get out of the inning. You could see how mad he was coming off the field because he really, really wanted it. You could see it on him as a competitor, which was great. Just a young kid, man, getting better every single time he's out there. And like we always say with these young guys, when they get these opportunities, just earn the next one.
Yep.
He did last time out. Unfortunately, got hit with the comebacker, so we didn't know if he was going to be all right or not. He was. Came out and did what he did last night. Certainly, that means 5 days from now, we'll see him again. And hopefully that just continues. Because just from a talent standpoint, he doesn't have the seasoning or all of the, all the craftiness that you're going to have as you get more experience. But his arm's more talented than most of the guys the Braves have.
Yeah, he's
which is why he's up so fast.
Yeah, why he's up so fast, why he's so highly regarded in the organization. Yeah, the dude has what you call electric stuff.
He does.
Yeah, it's all about, but that's like anything in life, in sports and everything. The more you do it, the better you get at it. And the better you get at it, you can find change of paces when your electric stuff ain't working. And you can find ways around that, those things like that. But, yeah, I just love the fact that he came back out, didn't know what the situation was after the liner off the elbow, goes out and pitches his ass off. And that's what he did yesterday, building the confidence more than any – that's the most important thing about any – thing when you're a young player is gaining that confidence, like as far as like I know I'm confident to go out there and do it, but I'm doing it, so it gives you more.
It's the most important thing in life. You gotta show up with some confidence.
Yes, always
act like you belong.
Strut.
Grab your strut.
What do you say on Ned Professor? Don't forget to strut.
Don't
forget to strut, man. It's amazing how struttable life can be.
Life's struttable.
It is.
If you're strutting through life,
it gets you through it, man.
It'll get you through it. Shout out to Jared Curtis, following in the footsteps of me, choosing Georgia over Oregon.
That's a good one right there.
Yeah, well done, kid. Smart kid. I just can tell he's smart. Got a good head on his shoulders. 5-star quarterback, class of 2026. Probably the biggest quarterback or the biggest recruit in that class. I don't know. But it was a big deal. He was making his decision yesterday. It came down to the Georgia Bulldogs and the Oregon Ducks, and he chose Georgia. Well done, Jared.
Woohoo!
For Georgia.
Yeah, when he don't beat out whoever the quarterback is on the team now. So, yeah. Woohoo! Good for him, Andy. But yeah, I'm getting all excited about these damn kids and their commitment. Yeah, he might not even go to Georgia in 2026.
Why not?
Yeah. He's gonna go on an unofficial to Florida, or Miami or somewhere.
Yep.
After further consideration, I've reopened my commitment.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty.
Until I see your ass getting to Sanford Stadium, that's when I'll start.
Pretty good chance.
That's when I'll start caring.
But you know what? He said he's going to Georgia.
Yeah. Okay. Good for him.
We'll see.
Good for him.
I don't.
When I see him put that helmet, the red helmet on in Sanford Stadium when we're playing against the opponent.
And we'll talk to Brandon Adams about it in the 1 o'clock hour. I mean, clearly money was a factor in terms of the NIL era. I just always like, is Phil Knight out of money? Are we,
maybe this just wasn't money.
Is the spending era over with the Oregon Ducks?
Maybe it just wasn't money. Maybe he just wanted.
I'm not even wearing Nikes today.
Stay close to home. I mean, he's a Tennessee kid. They want to go all the way out to Eugene. I don't know.
It's pretty far.
Yeah.
Pretty far.
But yeah, he might still end up there, Andy.
Plus, he probably has pretty good inclination that Dan Lanning's not going to be there for very long. You know what I mean? Dan's out of there first chance he gets.
You think so?
No, I don't know.
Like where?
I'm just talking blank. I don't know. Who knows?
Like where?
I'm hoping, actually, because Dan Lanning's doing too good of a job. It's kind of annoying. All right, let's hear Aaron Gordon win the game last night for the Nuggets.
Second free throw, Holmgren. Missed it again. Rebound down to Christian Brown. You got to hurry. 8-7 seconds. Front court over to Westbrook. Left side Gordon for the win. Yeah! 2.8 seconds left. Coming back the other way. Williams from half court. Baked it no good at the horn. And the Denver Nuggets shock the Oklahoma City Thunder in game number one. Final tonight, 121-119.
I'm really curious about this question. Because that was a hell of a shot by him.
Yeah.
But the pass from Russ, I mean, because we catch, first of all, the ball comes off and everybody's standing around like,
everybody thought the other guy was going
to
get
the
rebound.
Grab the ball. Yeah. He catches it, throws it to Russ. Russ puts all this pressure on the defense. I'm like, oh, no, Russ.
Yeah.
And then he finds Gordon. Gordon hits a big time shot, man.
If you would have asked, you can't live bet this fast, but if we were watching it in slow motion, when Brown hit Westbrook on that outlet.
Yes.
I would have bet all the money I had that Westbrook was going to be the one to take
the shot. And I'm talking about going 100 miles an hour, stopping and flying off 2 feet from three.
Because they only needed one.
Yes.
And there was enough time.
For him to get to the rack.
I thought he was going to try to get to the rack, dunk it, or get fouled or whatever.
Yes.
He made the right pass.
Yes.
He made the absolute right, calm, rational basketball decision.
He was really good last night, too.
Yeah, he was, for the most part. he had a look late that might have won him the game before that, and that was – damn near airballed it.
Short arming it, Russ. Yeah,
but he almost airballed it long. He made the right play. Gordon made the shot. Gordon had a mistake, kind of being a little over aggressive, trying to go to the rim when maybe he could have kicked it out on an offensive rebound a couple possessions before. So love to see him hit that shot. And that was just a matter of a team having been there before.
Yep.
And a team not.
Cause that guy, that big fella. First of all, why do you foul to get him back and let him back in the game?
I know.
Why did you foul?
They didn't have any timeouts.
They had no timeouts.
They wouldn't have been able to get him back in the game.
But he was unreal.
Yeah, he's now
Hartenstein and Chet, who choked at the free throw line.
You were watching live, right?
Yeah.
When they fouled Chet, what'd you think? Because I thought that was the right guy to foul.
Sometimes you can just look at his faces.
Yep.
And look at his face.
Body
like,
language.
He was like, damn.
Yep. The way Chet walked up to the free throw line,
and
then he paused a little extra long before he shot that first free throw.
That's a miss.
I was like, he's missing one of these two.
That's a miss.
He's never had free throws bigger than that in his entire life. I think they went to the championship at Gonzaga, so maybe he did down the stretch, but I don't know. Anyway. You just kind of could see it in his body language that he was tight going to the free throw line. Didn't think he'd miss both of them.
Rebound
missed the first one and then clang the second one. And you're right, that rebound was dicey. It hit the ground. Russ takes off running. Like, nobody grabbed it. But they find the outlet, and yeah, you said it. 42-22-6. fifth time in NBA history that's happened. Wilt a couple times. Shaq. Who was the other one? There was one other guy kind of recently. Maybe Giannis, I think. Giannis, Wilt,
sounds
Shaq,
like
Giannis, and Jokic.
Yeah.
Cool.
Unbelievable.
Good company.
He's unbelievable down the stretch. And we asked who was going to come along with Shea.
Yeah. Unfortunately, last night the answer was kind of no one.
Yeah.
Alex Caruso was good off the bench.
I love him.
But
I love that dude. I would love to have him as on my team.
When they made that trade, because they kind of had to get rid of Giddey, right?
I would love to have
Giddey got a little toxic. Right. Caruso's just a really, really solid guy to have on your team.
Yes.
But, yeah, Chet wasn't particularly good last night. Obviously missed those free throws. That Hartenstein was pretty solid. That little push lefty thing he does is gross.
It's so ugly.
It's just like
– but.
But it goes in. It's just like, what is that? Like, it's like a from the hip floater by a 7'4" guy. Like, who does that?
Him?
Isaiah Hartenstein.
He's 7 foot.
I don't know, maybe not, but he's 7 foot. Yeah. He's freaking huge. He's a monster with a floater. Lefty floater. All right. Mike Conti is going to join us next. We'll see where the Hawks are on their search. As I think the interview process will begin this week for president of basketball operations. Atlanta United didn't lose, so that's good.
Don't get me started.
That's good. Better than losing. We'll come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Brandon Adams is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour today, as he tends to do on Tuesdays, but timely. Plenty to talk about today with BA after the big announcement yesterday that Jared Curtis, 5-star quarterback, class of 2026, picked Georgia over Oregon, so we'll get BA's thoughts on that. Also want to remind you to make sure to start your weekend with Dukes and Bell this Friday with a special broadcast at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, breaking down the weekend's sports action while enjoying great food and drinks at Twin Peaks. You could be part of it. That's Dukes and Bell at Twin Peaks and Buckhead from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. With that, we welcome in Mike Conti. How are you, Mike?
Good. How are you?
Good. I forgot if there was an intro. There was, at one point.
The pregnant pause.
There was an intro at one point, and then now we have one for Grant. I don't know. I'm doing my best. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to see you guys. Beautiful day again here in Atlanta. Awesome day.
So last week we kind of talked a little bit about, because obviously the Hawks are in, they're in a search for president of basketball operations. We don't really have any names yet, just speculating at names. Now there's been some rumors that have circulated out a little bit. We spent some time Friday when the rumor came out from Zach Klein, NBA sources, that had some names on it, including obviously Danny Ferry, former general manager. Mm-hmm. Just with all the names that we've seen rumored now, any of them intrigue you?
Well, Danny Ferry's name intrigues me quite a bit. Calvin Booth is an interesting one. Maybe I'm biased because I went to school with him at Penn State. No. But Calvin Booth is someone who played in the league and then was with Denver and had a large hand, pardon the pun, he's like 7 feet, 6 inches tall. But mm-hmm. had a
former Sonic, Calvin
former
Booth.
Former Sonic, that's right, yep. Yeah. In fact, I think I want to say maybe won a playoff game for the Sonics, had like a buzzer beater or something
like
that, an early round playoff game.
I don't know.
But had a role in building that Nuggets organization. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of it was with scouting and how much of it was just player personnel. I would really, really be keen on anyone who has a link to the scouting side with the Denver Nuggets, because they've done such a good job with their international scouting over the years. So that name intrigues me. Look, I think, again, if you're looking for – we talked about this a week or two ago. You don't have to go into the luxury tax to pay a general manager. You don't have to go into the luxury tax to pay a head coach. You know, so go. I would love to see the Hawks go out and spend some money in an area where they won't be taxed.
Right.
And I think they've got the right head coach. I really, really do. I like Quinn Snyder a lot. And I think, as we've discussed, if you look at the way that some of his players have developed over the last season, I feel really strongly about that. So now, if you're hiring a president of basketball operations, go open the checkbook and get a big name and someone with a proven track record of success. The names that Zach reported, which, by the way, mostly match the names that I have heard, I think all kind of fit that list of people who have a proven track record of success, in some cases, championship level of success. That encourages me. I don't know if all the names were accurate that are reported. I only remember a couple.
But, Elton Brand was on there also.
Look, I mean, Elton, you know, they had their moments with Philadelphia where it looked like they were getting close, you know, and then, yeah, I don't know. You could probably blame that on personalities of players and things happen, but that's an intriguing name, and obviously he has a Hawks connection. So I don't know. If everything that's being reported is accurate, I find it to be encouraging. I also have heard through my sources there's a chance that they might just roll with what they're doing currently, which is having the GM and not necessarily going out and hiring anyone else at this point. So keep an eye on that as a possibility, too.
That was going to be my question. Why does it feel like this is such a big deal? Meaning, you know, like it seemed like it's being extra reported on this position for the Hawks. When they do have a sitting GM, they had the head coach and everything. But for some reason, this seems like it's kind of...
Think about when Landry Fields was the GM, but Travis Schlenk was still with the organization. Right. So Landry's title was general manager. And this didn't last too terribly long. I think Travis was gone a couple months after it happened. So Landry's title was general manager, but someone above him was in the discussion, if not making decisions. So it sounds like if they're going to make this hire, the general manager would report to this person. Well, that's a big deal.
Okay.
And again, Andy and I, you know, we've talked about this a couple times. The Hawks have come out and said in black and white in a press release that they have to make a very, very big, complicated decision this summer. You don't need to read between the lines. That's about Trae Young.
So why do they need somebody? Are they asking this person to come in and make this decision for them?
I think they're at least going to want heavy input if the decision has not been made already. Right. And that's another thing, too. They might have already made the decision, and they're looking for someone who can now, you know, deal with it, deal with the aftermath of that decision, whether it's building around Trae or you know, rebuilding.
Right.
If I were interviewing for the position, that would be something I would want to have input on. So I don't want to, like, sit here and declare, like, oh, yeah, they've probably made the decision and they're looking for someone who will go along with it. No, I don't get that feeling. I don't think you would be able to hire the person you want if that person wants to have some kind of input in that decision. And they would have to. It's the biggest decision this franchise has made. Oh, God.
So trade and Dominique?
Well, hopefully it works out better than that.
Or since they traded for Trae. Right? Like, I mean, that was
– Yeah, I mean –
That was a pretty big decision.
That was a huge – probably that. You're right, Andy. I mean, I was thinking maybe, okay, let's get a little cute here. I mean, the decision to – they didn't decide to let Al Horford go. Al Horford decided to go. But they were at that point – I think they were shopping Paul Millsap in hopes of keeping Al Horford and maybe moving him to the four and I don't know, all that. Oh, yeah. So – You know, they had to make some decisions in the aftermath of their 60-win season that did not work out. But I agree. I mean, yes, you're obviously right. The Trae for Luka decision, that's going to be one of the transformational moves in the history of the franchise, no matter what happens.
Yeah, no question about that. And look, I mean, I don't know. If I'm interviewing for the job, I assume that's question one in the interview process or one of them. If I'm interviewing the person for the job, like if I'm Wrestler and the Brain Trust, that's the first thing I want to know is, hey, clearly here's our landscape. What do you think we should do? Like, what's your, you know, what's your view from the outside? We're in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you're in the building, sometimes you overvalue or maybe overreact to some of what you've built. When you're outside, you can look at it and say, yeah, I don't know. This is good. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. And I don't know. Like, if you hire a president of basketball operations and their first move is to come in and be like, yeah, we got to trade Trae Young. We got to move on from Trae Young. That's wild.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially saying, all right, we're beginning now a couple-year process to where we have to try to build this thing back up with whatever we acquire for Trae and then drafts down the road and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't know if that's the timeline they're interested in or really what they're interested in short term.
Well, I know they want to win right now.
Yeah.
And I know Tony Ressler really wants to
win right now.
You don't fire
Landry Fields for being in the play-in.
No,
and then rebuild
in order to set up a reset.
Right.
That is a really good point, and that might be a hint on where they plan on going with Trae. I think this team could be pretty good with its current core: a healthy Jalen Johnson and Trae Young, and a developing Reese Shea. And yeah, I love Dyson Daniels talking about being most improved player again. Because I love hearing that.
Yeah.
I really love it. I don't think that's ever happened before.
It has never happened. We looked it up because we were asking about it.
I love that. That's great. You know, and you have a Okongwu who I think is very valuable. You need to find a true five. But if you do, you know, I think you could be pretty good. Are you championship level? Oh, I don't know, but I think you could be pretty good. And that is maybe the weightiest portion of this decision that they're going to make. Are you going to be happy with being pretty good? Maybe your ceiling is 50 to 55 wins, second round, maybe a conference final. Or do you feel like you have to blow this all up again for five more years to come out of it and maybe still at best be pretty good?
Right.
I don't know if I'd be willing to take that chance.
Mike, you know one of my favorite things is listening to go! And it was so long since you said that.
I forgot what it looked like.
Until last week.
Yeah, I forgot what it looked like.
Yeah. And I actually, every week, Mike, whenever we have you on, I say, is it chemistry? Is it formation? What I mean, because...
Well, they changed. Let's go through that.
Okay.
They changed not the formation, but where the players...
Positions and
the
stuff.
The positioning.
Okay. Right.
I don't think that really worked. It looked good for 30 minutes. Really good for 30 minutes. And then they shut down. And I don't think it was tactical. I don't think they made a conscious decision after 30 minutes, hey, we're going to just give Nashville the ball and counter and protect our 1-0 lead at home. That does not sound like the Atlanta United that I've come to know over the last many years. And I don't think that's how Ronnie Dyla feels about it either. All right, so then let's dig into that. What's the problem? Why does it look pretty good for 30 minutes, and then at the snap of a finger, it all kind of falls apart? Is it a fitness issue? Is it a chemistry issue? Is it a personnel issue? Is it a coaching issue? What? I don't know. I don't think it's as simple as just one thing.
Right.
You know, I do think the overarching thing that is affecting this club right now is the just humongous amount of pressure. And especially playing at home. Like, I feel like they're pressured. They feel the pressure to entertain their fans. The expectations for this team coming into the season were obviously out of alignment with what the reality of this team is right now. And I think they are pressing so hard to match that level of expectation that you're seeing them make mistakes or do things out of chemistry, or players who are taking themselves out of their positions to chase the ball because they feel like they have to do something. You mentioned the goal. Okay, great. They scored. It was a pretty good goal, and good to see Miguel Almiron score. But it's kind of a classic Atlanta United goal this year. Brooks Lennon told me after the game he was shooting.
Yeah.
And his shot hit Miguel Almiron and went in.
Yes.
How many times have we seen that this year?
I would have lied my ass off.
No, if I was Brooks Lennon.
I told him on the radio. We'll just keep that between us.
Because that was a great pass.
I'm like, hell on earth. Were you able to, in that moment, see Miggy out of the corner of your eyes like, no, I was shooting? Which I really admire the honesty. But how many times this year have we seen, like, Saba running into Latte Lot, or Almiron running into Latte Lot, or Saba running into Maranchuk, or you know, a pass that is sent between two players and no one knows where it goes. So,
or just a defensive player missing the ball and leading to a goal opportunity.
That's a little different because at least the defender is still where he's supposed
to
be.
That's not
I'm
communication.
I'm talking more about attacking players who are just bumping into each other, like literally bumping into each other. that to me says chemistry. But here's the thing. You've played one third of the season now. That's more than enough time. More than enough time to forge your chemistry. So we'll see. I think they have a very winnable road game coming up in Chicago on Saturday. Then they'll have a tough one at Austin a week from tomorrow. And then they come back home and play Philadelphia, who just beat them 3-0. So we'll see. It was this draw on Saturday, maybe a baby step towards digging out of this, or was it a step towards going further into this pit of despair? I said after the game on Saturday, I think this team is getting worse. I'm a little less convinced of that, having gone back and watched again. I thought the first 30 minutes were better than I remembered. So maybe it's not quite as bad as I felt after the game on Saturday, but no way in the world did I expect this team to have 10 points through 11 matches. No way in the world.
I mean, obviously this isn't nearly as important as them trying to score goals and win games, but you talk about a pretty elite back-to-back road trip for a broadcaster. Chicago and then Austin.
Chicago in May, too.
Yeah, right. You're there before it's too hot. Austin,
too. We have been really lucky the last couple of years. We've been in Chicago either draft weekend or the weekend after. So, I'll be at Gibson's on Friday.
No doubt.
It's going to be great. Austin. I have not been to Austin since I was the voice of the New Orleans Voodoo of the Arena Football League back in 2007.
Wow.
So it's been almost 20 years since I've been to Austin, and everyone raves about it.
I hear it's a lot different.
It is.
Yeah, well, and also it's a little strange. Their stadium is not downtown. Mm. It's kind of in an industrial area outside of downtown. I don't know where we're staying or what the restaurant situation is, but hopefully I'll be able to get some good Texas barbecue, because you're right. I mean, everyone raves about Austin. We're pretty lucky in Major League Soccer. This is a league. It's not like the NBA where you have to go to like Sacramento.
They got good cities in
and Indianapolis.
Soccer. It's true. Like,
pretty much every road trip we make is a good one.
Yeah. I mean, you still do have to go to Orlando.
Yeah.
But there's no Phoenix and Charlotte.
Yeah, no Phoenix. That's true.
Yeah.
No Portland. Well, no. With Portland sometimes.
Portland's a good city.
Oh, it used to be a lot better.
All right.
Mike. Gibson's.
Thank you.
Lucky, can't wait.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.